Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up around 520, John Glennon with BroadwaySportsMedia.com talking Titans and Preds. But right now, a chance to talk some AFC South, Indianapolis Colts style, and more. Taylor Tannenbaum, sports reporter, sports anchor with the NBC affiliate in Indianapolis, WTHR Television. Taylor, it's always fun having you on. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for always having me on. It's good to talk to you. Good to hear from you.
Well, I know that one thing that we can expect, and we've already seen a little bit of it over the last week or so, but it's going to be fun knowing where the salary cap is and looking at how many teams having major issues of finding themselves in the right spot as far as the salary cap. One of those teams that does not have any issues, the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, when you look at their total cap space, over $40 million available for 2021, and they think that they have their quarterback of the future as well in Carson Wentz.
Yeah, so obviously that'll play a factor once that is officially made official on March 17th. Obviously, the deal is all but signed, sealed, and delivered. But they have plenty of money to spend, and that is credit to Chris Ballard and company for being frugal over the last few years, not just jumping at anything and everything, not just spending aimlessly to put a Band-Aid on things. They've been trying to build from the bottom up, and that's what they've been doing. So they're in the place now where they have their core, they have the basics of what they need, and now they can, if they want to, spend a little money, make a couple moves, gives them a little bit of freedom to plug and play where they really need it the most.
Do they regret last year, knowing how close that they were as far as being in that position to actually win the division last season, maybe spending an extra, $5 to $10 million that would have and certainly could have impacted their run last year?
I don't think so. I don't think they regret it. I think they pretty much got what they wanted out of it. I think maybe more of it was just being better with the team that they had. They definitely had the potential to do it. I don't know how. I mean, they spent the money for DeForest Buckner when they did, and he came in and has made a big impact. Phillip Rivers did really, he kind of exceeded expectations. I think a couple of their rookies did as well. They had just a couple of injuries that kind of plagued them. You had Marlon Mack go down early, so it took some time for the run game to get going. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor eventually emerged. But you just had some unexpected things that I think flipped around what they would have hoped the season would be. But what they got out of it was 11 wins, and especially during a season that was marred with COVID and just the craziness. So I think it did take them one step closer to where they want to be. So, no, I don't think they regret it. I think it's actually helped them know what they need to do this year.
It's interesting. J.J. Watt was available, and unlike last year, a lot of teams waiting to see where Jadeveon Clowney ended up. There was no kind of suspense as far as this year.
Right.
So as long as Chandler Jones is healthy, I think Arizona, probably the only team, doesn't really have to worry much about having the personnel to get to opposing teams' quarterbacks. But I bring it up because of the other 31 teams, it's like everybody talking about needs. You can almost circle it. Needs for a pass rusher. The Titans certainly need one. The Colts can use one as well. What are the other needs? I look at the offensive weapons. Is there enough there for Carson Wentz? I mean, I love the play of Jonathan Taylor, but is there enough offensive weapons there for Carson Wentz?
I think so. It depends on if they bring T.Y. Hilton back, number one. That is going to be a big topic of discussion here in the next couple of weeks. I think that they should. I think he's very, very important, especially because you still have a really young wide receiver group. Michael Pittman really started to emerge at the end of last year. So he's a wideout I think they can really start to rely on. And you'll see what you get from Paris Campbell, another wide receiver who went down with another injury early last year. So can he come back and be the receiver that they have expected him to be? Could they probably have another receiver? Yes, I would say yes. I think they're fine in the running back department. But what they need to address most, more than anything, is left tackle. You had Anthony Costanzo retire this offseason, 10-year veteran, should have probably been an all-pro you know, a Pro Bowler multiple times and wasn't, just because that position gets overlooked a lot. So that, before anything, really, I think is the biggest thing you have to fix when you have an offensive line as great as they have had and you want to keep that up. You want to fill that void, and they can plug and play. They can move Quentin Nelson around. They can move Braden Smith around, but you really, they're great at where they are. So finding a left tackle, I think, is priority number one for this team in order for this offense to go.
And you hate for teams that have a big need like that, you hate for them not to do anything from a free agency standpoint, and you wait for the draft, for example, to try to address that need. To me, knowing how close the Colts are from being a complete team, to me, that's probably the one position, if you think about what will they address with free agency, I'm pretty sure that that will be that position that they look at.
I agree. And they have the money to spend. They can get probably whoever they want, especially when you pitch to people, hey, we're a team that's really one or two players away, one or two plays away from getting as close to a Super Bowl as you can get. So I think that's where the salary cap plays into the hand of the Colts. They've been patient, and it's worked in their favor. So that is going to be priority number one. And if you can find a good pass rusher, obviously J.J. Watt would have been great, but I think they can probably even do better than that when it comes to longevity.
You know, the Tennessee Titans, they did make some – they waived Adam Humphreys last week, for example. So they have put themselves in a position that they're at least in a better position than they were. You know, they've got at least $5 million or so to spend as far as the salary cap is concerned. But that's nothing compared to the other three teams in the AFC South. Even Houston, if you look at total cap space, they've got over $31 million to spend. Jacksonville, if it wasn't for the Jets, the Jacksonville Jaguars would have the most, but they've got, for total cap space, almost $79 million. That's even better than where the Indianapolis Colts find themselves in. But then again, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, because just like the Jets having the most money, you'll know that they will probably find a way to mess it up.
Absolutely. And whatever the heck is going down in Houston, I don't even know where to start with that.
It's been going on for a few years. It wasn't just something that happened overnight. And,
no,
and certainly the players.
When you lose the faith of your starting quarterback, you know, obviously they're going to have to trade him away. They keep saying they're not. In my opinion, he's got to go before the beginning of the season. There's no way this is going to be repaired. So between the two of them and Jacksonville, they have, obviously they're going to get Trevor Lawrence, and they have Urban Meyer, but I really just think it's up to the Colts and Titans at this point to own the AFC South. This is the time, if you're going to do it, is now.
So you're not buying into Zach Wilson from BYU at this point. You still think it's going to be Trevor?
Yes. I just think that, you know.
But as far as Houston, you know, the interesting thing, if it's not Deshaun Watson, even if they flip quarterbacks with somebody else, I don't think anybody else is going to be better than Deshaun Watson for Houston. And where they are money-wise, you know, for Houston being that close 2 years ago to where they are today, even with that kind of money, I don't necessarily think it helps them to the point where we're talking about even getting to being mediocre this year, and especially when you lose players like J.J. Watt as well, DeAndre Hopkins, in the last two seasons. If Deshaun Watson is not a part of that starting lineup for Houston, to me, they're going to be right there along the lines of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, yeah. He's what makes their team go. I mean, he's what makes their team go. Any game that you saw that was even winnable for them this year was because of him. So you take him away. God, I would hate to see what their record would have been this year. I mean, what a job for Nick Caserio to take over down there. But, I mean, I guess you just start from scratch, and then that's just what you do, and it happens. The Colts lost Andrew, not the same situation, but the Colts lost Andrew Luck and had to figure it out. And, you know, it took maybe a minute, but they're right back in place to compete, and so you can do it. So now I think the most intriguing thing is just Deshaun Watson. Watch where the heck he's going to go.
The other part, you know, speaking of the salary cap to watch out for, I mean, this is that year where in the AFC, this will be the year where if you are named the executive of the year in the NFL, you've earned your stripes, especially on the AFC side. Seven of the top eight teams, as far as when you look at salary cap, seven of the eight teams with the most money to spend from the AFC, 10 of the top 12, and 12 of the top 11 of the top 14 teams with the most money to spend, all from the AFC this year.
Mm-hmm. So it's people are going to be making moves. There's going to be a lot of moves made, a lot of changes, but that means that people have the capacity to be able to make good moves. So that's them. So it's going to be competitive, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Speaking of competitive, March Madness just around the corner. Hello, yeah. Indianapolis. How much fun is that going to be for you and your teammates up there covering all of that action?
Going to be a lot of fun. Grateful to have everything here. I'm excited for the city of Indianapolis, just for them to showcase some things, for people to see the beautiful city and what we have to offer, to get some businesses back booming here downtown. It's going to be fun. We have 99 games in Indianapolis this month, leading into the championship game in early April. So 99 games between the Horizon League tournament, between the Big Ten men's and women's tournaments, and the NCAA tournament. So we are ready to go. We will be all over. There are five different sites, from West Lafayette to Bloomington to downtown Indy to the Butler campus at Hinkle Fieldhouse. So it's going to be a lot in a short amount of time. I know if you've seen the schedule, things are a little bit more condensed now. It's not as spread out over time. But it's going to be a blast and some great basketball. And I think the teams maybe can really benefit from it, because you don't have to worry about travel, really. You don't have to worry about packing up and moving and all this stuff. You can kind of make this your home if you're going to make it a run. So I think that's actually maybe could be a beneficial thing for these teams who have seen so much craziness over this season.
As a Florida State grad, I'm going to challenge you to attend every single one of those 99 contests.
Oh, I'm – yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll be able to do that, but I will absolutely be cheering for Florida State here in Indianapolis. I will be wearing my gear around town, and I'm excited for the Seminoles to make a run. I think that they can do it. I think we can see them in Lucas Oil at least in the Final Four. So we're riding with that.
I really felt that was the case last year with last year's team that had two lottery picks on it. And maybe this year's team can play for those guys as well. So we'll see how that all plays out. Do me a favor, remind the listeners best ways to keep up with your coverage on social media.
It's simple. Just at Taylor Tannenbaum on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. And I'm always around, so I love to have new followers, and I hope you'll take this crazy ride through March and free agency with me, because it's going to be fun.
All right. Listen, go Noles. Have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Go Noles always. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That's Taylor.